Our first scripture reading of the day comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 through 19. And that is page 24 in the Old Testament of your pew Bibles. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set upon the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of the God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. It is the 13th chapter, verses 24 through 30, and then picking up 36 through 43. We are continuing the stories that we've been hearing for the last couple of weeks of Matthew, and here we have another one about planting. Jesus presented another parable to those gathered. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who has sowed good seed in a field. And while everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then made off. When the crop began to mature and yield grain, the weeds became evident as well. The farmer's workers came and asked, did you not sow good seed in this field? Where are the weeds coming from? The farmer replied, I see an enemy's hand in this. Then they turned and asked, do you want us to go out and pull them up? No, replied the farmer. If you pull up the weeds, you might take the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. And then at harvest time, I will order the harvesters first to collect the weeds and bundle them up to burn, and then go to the wheat and put it in the barn. Then Jesus left the crowd and went into the house, and the disciples also came and said, explain this parable about the wheat and the weeds that were growing in the field. Again, they don't understand. And Jesus answered, the farmer sowing the good seed is the chosen one. The field is the world, and the good seed, the citizens of the kingdom. The weeds are the followers of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and while the harvesters are the angels, just as weeds are collected and burned, so it will be at the end of the age. The chosen one will send the angels who will weed out the kingdom of everything that causes sin and all who act in lawlessness. The angels will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. But those who are just will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Abba, their God. Let those who have ears to hear, hear this. May we be blessed by the hearing, reading, and pondering of God's holy word. So after last week's message, I received a few comments on gardening. Thank you. Thank you for all of those comments. One of the things that I love about living up here is that almost everyone knows something about growing. Whether it's the family orchard or the large farm, the backyard garden, a flower bed, or if it's like my house, just container plantings out on the back deck. We understand that growing takes time. And we know that gardens are not perfect. Last week, I mentioned the rose vine that is growing in the corner of my garage that I really wish wasn't there. I let it go for just so long. Today, I'm sharing that I have tall grass growing in my daylilies, and I cannot keep up with the grass growing in my daylilies. So I just let it grow, because gardens are never perfect. We plant tomatoes and the weeds come up with it. We sow the carrots and we get the crabgrass right beside it. We spend hours tending our flower beds, and somehow, always, the spiderwort seems to get in there and grows twice as fast. Anyone who has ever gardened knows that you don't always get exactly what you plant. And that's the story that Jesus is telling us this morning. A farmer plants the good seed out in the field, and during the night, the enemy comes and scatters weed seeds among the wheat. When the plants begin to grow, the field hands are horrified. Should we go out and pull the weeds? It's a pretty good question, in my opinion. Should we just go out and pull the weeds? Who wants the weeds? But the farmer says the opposite. He surprises us and he says, no, let them both grow until the harvest. That's kind of counterintuitive. If we're honest, we really don't like that answer. Let the weeds grow. We prefer order. We prefer clear categories, what is wanted and what is not wanted, the wheat and the weeds. Let them grow together. Our food source with a possible toxic plant intertwined with it. Putting aside all of the metaphors and allegories that we hear in here, we're actually talking about good people and bad people. Right, wrong, saints, sinners, the upright, and the undesirables. Our culture encourages us to sort everyone into neat little boxes. And even if you don't follow social media, you are influenced by it. Social media rewards the quick judgments, and we share those with our friends. News headlines divide the world into heroes and villains. And believe it or not, some churches have even been known to say who can be in and who is out. We hear that this morning's reading. Jesus refuses, though, to let the field hands become judges to make the final decision. The field hands are eager to pull and destroy, and the farmer is patient to see what will actually grow. And that's a pretty big, remarkable difference in behavior. So in my ordination paper some 15 years ago now, I was tasked with defining how I felt about some 10 or 12 theological statements. It wasn't like the marks of ministry paper that the mids get to write now. Mine was directed by my committee on ministry, and I had to write within one paragraph, a sentence or two, about 10 to 12, I don't remember the exact number, theological statements. And it starts off pretty easy. Communion, baptism. Those are pretty easy to explain ourselves, what it is and how we engage with that, how we feel about baptism and communion. And then it goes into soteriology and eschatology, translation, salvation, and end times. Nobody ever wants to, I'll speak for myself. I do not want to write on soteriology and eschatology. But one of the words that they had me write about was judgment. Judgment. And I can say this is the one place where I did not let my editors change my snark, because that is what was in my paper. What I wrote for judgment was, judgment with a capital J is above any pay grade that I will ever encounter. Judgment with a capital J is God's and God's alone. It is not for me to go anywhere near. Judgment with a little J, we all participate in that. Almost every day, we judge with a little J, and we have to sit with that. And that throws us back to the soteriology and the eschatology tie-ins. But that's where it stayed. Big J judgment, way beyond our pay grade. Little J judgment, we are all culpable of it. Jesus is telling us this morning about the judgment with the wheat and the weeds, the story of the field hands and the farmer. Historically speaking, the weed that Jesus is talking about is probably darnel. It's a plant that looks almost identical to the wheat while it's growing. And it's not until everything matures that you can tell the difference between one and the other. It's like the spiderwort that comes up early in the spring in my lily bed. They look almost the same, along with the tulips and the daffodils. The same stem comes up. It's hard to tell the difference. But here's the trick, and anybody that never gardens knows this. If you start pulling the weeds too soon, you're apt to disrupt the plant beside it. I have pulled many a head of grass out and brought up the bulb that was beside it and have to replant that. You pull the weeds too early, and you're apt to pull up the good plant. The field hands think that they are protecting the crop. The farmer knows that they might destroy it. How often has this happened throughout history? People convinced to their core that they are rooting out evil and end up harming innocent people in the process. Nations have done it, families have done it, churches have done it. Sometimes we've done it in our own relationships. We decide someone is beyond hope. We label them. We write them off. And later, we discover that we did not know the whole story. Jesus warns us about the danger of certainty when certainty belongs only to God. But of course, there really are weeds in our lives, beyond the ones that we see out here in the brickwork. And anybody who wants to help tackle those, see Bill or I. But the weeds that are in our society as a whole, it's injustice, violence, greed, cruelty, hatred. Jesus is not pretending that evil does not exist. Jesus will never pretend that evil does not exist. He's simply saying that judgment belongs to God, and not because God ignores evil, but because God alone sees the evil the way it is. And for we mere humans, that can be extremely frustrating. We want immediate justice for the harms that are done. We want our problems to be solved now. We want the weeds, whatever they may be in our life, gone. And instead, Jesus speaks of patience. And to be clear, though, this patience is not passive acceptance. It's patient faithfulness. Continued planting, continued watering, loving, and doing good. Remember, the wheat does not stop growing just because the weeds are nearby. But then the parable takes a turn towards some of the uncomfortable. And I think it's uncomfortable because the biggest temptation is assuming that we are obviously the wheat. It's the same assumption that we made last week, that we're the good soil, right? Receiving the good seed. It's easy to hear this story and imagine someone else as the weeds. But if we're honest, most of us are a mixture of both. Now, way before I had to write my ordination paper, and I was just a congregant in a church, I went to my pastor because there was a person in the church, as I affectionately says, just like she'd get up my nose. And she irritated me. Oh, she irritated me. And I went to my pastor and I'm like, she does. And then it's all this, 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 and that. And God bless Brad, Pastor Brad, he sat there and he listened to all of it, never saying a word, never interrupting me, never asking for clarification. And at the end of that, he goes, well, a wise mentor once looked at me and said, there's something about that man I don't like in myself. And with that, I hung my head, took a deep breath. And I think that's what influenced me with my judgment of a little J. There is something in that person that I don't like in myself when they start getting up my nose. There are places in our lives where compassion can grow. And there are places in our lives where resentment takes root. There are moments of compassion and places where fear wins. We are capable of extraordinary kindness and astonishing selfishness and stinginess. We all are. Martin Luther famously described Christians as, and again, here's my Latin now instead of Greek, simul justus et peccator, at the same time a saint and a sinner, at the same time. Here in the United Church of Christ, we often talk about a God that is continuing to work on our transformation. We are not finished products. We are still growing. And perhaps Jesus is not inviting us to identify who the weeds are. Perhaps Jesus is inviting us to trust that God has not yet finished with any one of us. Last week, I shared Quentin Blake's book, The Weed. And remember that the tiny weed shows up in the crack at the bottom of a deep pit. And the family that is stuck in that deep pit is questioning why their minor bird has put a seed in that. And very quickly, the seed sprouts and it becomes a weed. It's odd and it continues to grow. Octavia finally tells them, maybe you ought to climb up on that. Eventually, the weed becomes enormous, far bigger than anyone ever expected. But with time, it comes to fruition, and the family climbs up it. And there is fruit. Remember, there was peaches and pomegranates and pineapples and chocolate banana fudge tasting fruit. This plant, this weed, offers protection and safety. And at the final end, the weed dumps the family back out onto terra firma, plush green space. At first appearance, to be a nuisance becomes a place of life and grace. Blake isn't saying that every weed is wonderful. He's reminding us that first judgment is not always the final truth. Sometimes what we dismiss becomes a blessing. Sometimes what seems useless as a gift comes back as a gift that we've never imagined it to be. Sometimes growth surprises us. And isn't that true with people? A quiet child can become a very, very compassionate leader. That disruptive student can become an inspiring teacher. The person everyone gave up on becomes the one who changes someone else's life. God has a way of seeing possibilities where we only see problems. And not to be fooled, the church is one of those places. I'm going to make you a little uncomfortable this morning. I want you to look around at your neighbors and your pewmates. We are not a collection of perfect people. I hate to break the news to everyone, but we are not a collection of perfect people. We are still growing. We still have transformation within us. Some of us are just beginning. Some of us have very deep roots. Some of us are weathering difficulties. Some of us are flourishing. Some of us are wondering if we'll ever make it, whatever it is within our lives. And yet God continues to work among all of us. The same is true in our community. It's true in our families. It's true within ourselves. It's a field that is truly mixed, always has been, always will be. And yet God's grace keeps working. Thanks be to God for that, that God's grace continues to work. This morning's parable is honest. The world is mixed. Good and evil, beauty and brokenness, wheat and weeds. But Jesus insists that God's kingdom grows anyway. It grows in imperfect churches. It grows in flawed families. It grows in communities that are trying to do their very best. It grows in people who are still learning how to love. It grows in rural towns and small villages where the fields themselves preach this truth, where wheat and wildflowers and thistles all rising under the same bright sun. Grace grows in those mixed fields. Grace grows in the tangled places. Grace grows where we least expect it. And maybe that's the best, deepest, greatest news of all. The presence of weeds does not cancel out the promise of wheat. So what do we continue to do? We stay rooted. We stay faithful. We stay generous, humble enough to admit that we do not see the whole story. We resist the temptation to sort people into good and bad, worthy or unworthy, righteous or unrighteous. We resist the urge to purify what God has asked us simply to tend. We resist the fear that says the weeds are winning. Because Jesus promises the harvest is coming, justice is coming, healing is coming. God's wisdom will hold what our wisdom cannot. And until then, we grow. We grow in kindness and courage and compassion. We grow hope. We grow as wheat in the world that is always a little weedy and always beloved by God. Thanks be to God for fields that are mixed, for patience that is holy, and for grace that grows anyway. Thanks be to God. Amen.